The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Greg, and Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
In the Footy Prime podcast system, the episodes are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The players, who actually play the game on the pitch, and the pundits, who are giant soccer nerds and producers. These are their stories.
Yes, JC. JC delivering with a new season. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. You'll understand that in a few minutes' time, dear listener. I promise you. But that was great. Do you actually do the voice for Law and Order, JC? Because you sound just like him.
Not yet, but I'm waiting for that call from someone.
We Swingers girl. Swingers girl.
Hey, everyone. Hello. It's what day is it?
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. Yeah. Everyone's here today. Full crew for the first time of the new season. We've got a little game to play later. New segment, hence the legal theme. But stay tuned for that. You might enjoy it. Probably not, but we will.
come on.
The news to start the day, though, we have to start. This is exciting news. This is really exciting news. It came last night. Promise David, his friends call him Toby, is off to the Premier League, which is great. We've been talking about it all off-season about Canadian players making the switch, who's going where. We know Liam Miller is with Hull. Luke de Vigerol is still with Fulham as we speak, I believe. He might go out on loan at some point, but they like him. He's sticking around for a while, last we heard there. Tom McGill is at Brighton as well. There's rumors about Jonathan David making a switch, maybe to Aston Villa, but just speculation at this point. But promised David, Jimmy, it's exciting, isn't it? I mean, this guy seems to be just fit, a perfect fit for the Prem.
I think so. When you look at his physique, the size, his speed, I think you'll suit the Premier League well. We all know what Brighton's like. Brighton's a great side. They always have been over the last number of years. They have a good identity, and I think he's going to come in. I think he'll be a handful for defenders in this Premier League. Won't be easy. Obviously, he's going to the best league in the world. But I think he's well capable of performing in that league. So it's going to be a great test for him. And you can see he's excited, watched all this stuff on Instagram, and he's looking forward to the challenge. So I'm excited as well. Now I get to watch him on a Saturday morning.
Yeah. That is the most important part, after all. Right? Dubs, and the best part about this is that we can talk about multi-club ownership.
That's
isn't that
right.
Exciting?
I love it's that. So exciting. Yeah, it's the Bloom Ownership Group, right, which I found out yesterday. I did not know. So Union Saint-Gilloise is actually a loan deal from Union to Brighton. And Tony Bloom, who owns both, also owns Hearts in the Scottish Premier League. So I know Pirate Lawyer, who's a fan of Footy Prime, was hoping that maybe there was an intermittent step between the Belgian League and the Premier League that would be the Scottish Premier League, but it's not to be, which is great. Because really what matters is that it's convenient for us that we get to watch Toby, we get to watch Promise David toil in a Premier League. But I think it's great. Like the reason why Union Saint-Gilloise took a flyer on a kid who had lit up the Estonian League is because he can score goals, right? And he's only grown since then. So I think the idea here is that they think, as Jimmy pointed out, all of his physical attributes, but also a guy who can play more than just an aggressive physical style, a big body at 6'5", and bully you, is there's nuance, there's technique, there's tactical acumen to this guy's game, which is, I think, oftentimes overlooked, and he's underrated in that regard. So he'll be tested, certainly, but I think they believe the way that he's scored prolifically in all of these stops, whether it's Malta or it's Estonia or the Belgian league, that they think he can make an impact in arguably the best league in the world, in the Premier League.
Now, Craig, you've mentioned this numerous times over the years. What a jump up it is for players to join the Premier League with whoever it is, from, you know, a European league outside, okay, La Liga, okay, yeah, Bundesliga to a certain point, but the Belgians of the world, good league, but it's a bit of a massive, massive step up for him. Do you think he's got the attributes like Dubs insists he has?
Well, we're going to find out. I mean, I think he does, but it is a massive step up because we've seen it before from teams and players that have come from the Dutch league, the Belgium league, that have done really well in those leagues and had very difficult times in the Premier League. He's going to get that chance, of course. One thing I don't like about it myself, and we talked about this a little bit off on the dark web, that it's a loan deal, and it's a bit of a free look at him from Brighton's point of view. They didn't have to fork out a whole bunch of money, millions of pounds, on an untested player at that level. They get to have a look at him for basically free. Whether they increase his wages, maybe a little bit, but they don't necessarily have to because it's a loan deal. And the Belgium League, and we're looking at finances, they average about 300,000 euros a year per player on average. The Premier League's 4.8 million on average per player. So it's a, you know, I would have liked to have seen it being a full-time gig for him. So at least he's going to get a ton of money for the for his efforts. But if it doesn't work out, they can just send him back. And I'm not sure that's necessarily a good thing at that point for Promise David to ever make that step up again. So he's gambled on himself, and I'm proud of him for doing that. But at the same time, I'm a little bit disappointed that it's not a full-time gig for him.
I have a question for you about that, Forrest. When it comes to loan deals, do players have a say? Like, do they have to sign off on the term of it? And like, if there's any financial bump for them, like, do they have an active say in it before they go?
Yeah, they would, absolutely. Like, if you wanted to, you could say, listen, I'm not going to Brighton on loan. I'm going to stay where I am. I'm going to keep filling the net and wait until somebody takes a dip on them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That wouldn't have been a bad idea because somebody would definitely do that. And eventually he would get a 2-3-4 year contract on the back of a gamble. But this isn't a gamble for Brighton. In my estimation, it's not an actual gamble. I mean, it could absolutely work out. And there's terms in there that we don't know and targets that if he hits, it could be a full-time deal. So let's hope he hits it. I'm sure goals are a massive part of that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's a great club. It's a really good club. Mm-hmm. And they know they've scouted the players and they've hit way more than they've missed on players over the last 10 years. Incredibly run club.
Yeah.
Managers, they're five managers ahead of this guy. They've already made decisions on the guys way down the road. So they're excellent at that and punch way above their weight.
Yeah.
No,
it is a good club. And you're right. When they do their scouting is first class, probably one of the best in the country. Just how detailed they are. And they continue to find gems over the years and then end up selling them, making money. They are a fun side to watch. They got a good brand of football, and they know exactly the type of players that they want. They do their due diligence and homework. And I think when you look at it as well, him coming from Belgium, you know, we've seen it many times. Players come from Belgium and do very well in the Premier League. Vincent Kompany, Thomas Rosinski, De Bruyne. The list goes on with players that start in Belgium and end up making a mark in the Premier League.
I think that the deal called the Sky Sports is £22 million if he reaches certain targets, which is, like Craig said, goals, games played, obviously. For him, though, I mean, this guy reaching his mid-20s, he's got the chance to make some noise in the Prem for a team that's just lost Danny Welbeck, which is a bit of a surprise, going to Chelsea of all teams. Now, Danny Welbeck is hugely respected, big force, physical guy. Now, again, an older guy who had a good year last year, I think 13 goals in the league. That's a guy who's kind of coming in to try and replace. So you think there will be opportunity in a system that likes a big physical forward, despite all the skill behind him. Mm-hmm. And Brighton have that. They're a fun team to watch, have been for years. They do like that big physical center forward in the 4-2-3-1. So it seems to be a good fit. But you're right, he is gambling on himself. And I like that as well. You know, okay, ideally you get a nice permanent move. It's all cozy and beautiful and all the money comes flowing in. But, you know, this guy's never done it the easy way. He's mm-hmm. always bat himself, right? And it's paid off for him. I love his Instagram videos, if you've seen them, with his introduction. Already, I tell you, I bet you already Brighton fans are kind of falling a little bit in love with Promise David, just like we all did. Now, he's got to score goals now. Who cares about the personality, right? If he's not scoring goals.
Yeah, that'll turn pretty fast.
No, but when it's Promise, you still do care about the personality a little bit. Of course, it makes it shine all the more if he's able to fill the net. Right. I want to ask you guys, though, because the rumor for the longest time was that there were terms that were agreed upon for him to go to Stuttgart in the Bundesliga. And then that seemed to fall through. It went quiet for a while. And then this deal happened within the ownership group of Bloom. So, but for Promise David, the player, I think, you mentioned it or you alluded to it there, Sharms, like he's almost ruled out of the World Cup with this devastating hip injury. And against all odds, he makes it and he makes an impact. He scores a goal in a losing effort versus Switzerland. So he's a guy who I think is up for the challenge. But for him and his trajectory as a player, it's going to be tougher going to the Premier League. I think he's up to the challenge, but would a better landing spot for him in like the arc of his playing career, would it have been the Bundesliga?
I mean, you tell me, guys, don't certain players just want to experience that English football, the Prem? That's what Carl Aaron said when he joined Southampton last year. I've always wanted to play in England.
Yeah, of course. You want to play in the Premier League. They come calling. And the thing is, too, I bet you when Stuttgart started asking, you know, the ownership group who owns the clubs is probably like, no, don't even bother. Mm. Don't even bother because he's going to be coming with us. And I would love to see how he does that deal. Does he pay $22 million to himself and be like, here, I'll take that when the deal is done? Right. Just goes on the other side of the desk.
Deal.
That in my pocket.
Good for you.
I'd say maybe 20 is a lot, but maybe 22. Okay.
I'll tell you what, I'll throw in a crate of champagne. How about that?
No, it's a box of cereal for him. Remember, he loved his cereal.
Oh, that's right. Come see Brighton.
You mentioned the scouting. Just one thing about Bloom and Brighton is they go deep, dark stats based. This is kind of the money ball of football, right? Analytics, right? So, you know, they have a great scouting network, like Jimmy said, maybe the best in the country or up there, but it's based largely on numbers and they've watched this guy for a long time. This isn't just, oh, he scored a few goals last year, Union. They've gone deep diving into Promise David. Mm-hmm. Wonger, sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to ask Jimmy and Craig, what should Promise David expect in Brighton? What is Brighton like to play in? And if you're going on a road trip there and you're staying overnight, or what should you stay away from? What should you embrace?
Should you go to the Albion or should you go to the Hove?
Whatever it is, what should you be doing in Brighton?
Go to the Hove.
It's close to London. The Hove? It's a lovely town.
Nice beach town.
And Hove.
Yeah. And Hove. Yeah.
It is a nice town.
It is a nice city. It is a nice city. Mm. I mean, you know it well, Jimmy. You're on the south coast. It's one of the best areas of the country.
Yeah.
But Brian Promise has told us and said in his interviews, he doesn't swim. So we learn more and more about Promise David. He doesn't swim. He goes, something about the water. Now he's living on the coast now in a seafaring town. The Seagulls is the name of the club. And so maybe he's got to learn to swim. You won't see Promise out there on the water in a yacht, I don't think, necessarily. Maybe
he only needs
yacht.
To swim if he fails badly and he wants to swim across the channel.
Get me out of here.
All the water metaphors.
Yeah.
And then let's not forget, it's not the Mediterranean either.
Yeah. The channel's lovely. Freezing. What are you talking about? Pebble beaches.
You know, one thing too, we know Promise quite well, obviously, and we've had him on the show. But I think generally speaking, the Brighton fans won't know much about him. Might have saw him in the World Cup, whatever. But when they look at him, he looks, you know, they're going to think he's his personality is different. When he crosses the white lines, I mean, he uses all the strength and ability and power and intimidation, all those things. But that's not his personality off the field. The guy is like a gentle giant when it comes to that. He's a, you know, and that's not a bad thing. He's an absolute gem of a guy. So the, from a professional standpoint, they're going to have no problems with it whatsoever. But he's not that, you know, I mean, he's cut out of granite, the guy.
Oh,
you know.
Just can't get over his legs. His legs, Craig.
Could be a boxer.
Yeah, yeah. He could be a bodybuilder without having any of those, like spending time in the gym like that. He's just a natural, well, right?
He said in one of those videos, he said if he wasn't a footballer, he'd like to be in football, but perhaps coaching and training athletes physically how to be footballers. Mm. So I think it's a guy that spends a lot of time.
There's his calling when he's finished.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. He's going to be the Gary Roberts of soccer.
Oh, right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, anyway, good for Promise, David. Good for us as Premier League fans, as are many of our listeners and viewers. So, you know, the Promise experience is something to behold, Brighton.
I've got a new team. That's how easy it is for Wagger.
Me too.
Well, Tom McGill's there too, right? Tom McGill's there as well. The goalkeeper.
There you go.
Two Canadians.
Yeah. Sorry, Great. Brentford.
You know what? Somebody on Twitter posted this, and it was, who was the last Canadian to play for Brighton? And the answer was not Tom McGill. Did you guys see this?
Last Canadian to play for Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
Last Canadian.
Oh, that's a good trivia.
Who is it? Brighton. Is it a trick question?
No. No, it's not. It's just something that I was unaware of. In our current pool for our men's national team program, due to injury, has not featured and did not feature at the last World Cup.
Okay. This is interesting. We've got to go through some names here, haven't we?
Did Theo Bear get up to Brighton?
I'll give you a hint. Oh, Vancouver.
Good guess. Good guess. Ralph Prieser was never there on loan. No. Vancouver.
Adekube?
Yes.
Oh, he was at Brighton?
Mm.
Yeah, he was there on loan, I think. I believe so.
Oh, okay, wow. Let's look this up.
Sorry.
Charms, run the show. We'll look it up. Charms, run the show.
Who's the famous DJ?
Oh,
the Brighton fan.
Fat Boy Slim.
Fat Boy Slim, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. There's a few famous people around. Did he? Was he part of it?
I think
because Brighton was a tiny club, a small club. Tony Bloom has just reinvented it, right?
Yeah.
I wonder, I bet a lot of those players live in London, though, and just commute down there, right?
Kind of in South London,
So Sam Adekube, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jimmy. 2016-2017, Brighton and Hove Albion, loan, one appearance.
Oh, in the Prem?
In a cup, I bet.
Maybe.
Yeah. Still, regardless,
he'll play there.
Well,
former trivia.
Okay, I got one for you. Former executive.
Nose is whistling.
Paul Byrne.
Oh, nicely done, Jimmy Brennan.
What was the question, though?
What Canadian executive was?
Yeah,
was in Brighton.
TFC's first ever employee, Paul Byrne, was at Brighton for a while, and I believe Paul Barber, who also ran the Whitecaps, ran Brighton too, did he not? Jimmy, was that Brighton?
He did.
Was it Phil Barber?
Yeah.
Or Paul Barber,
I think.
No, it was Barber. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go Barber. Could be Phil, could be Paul.
He might still be there for all I know. I think he might still be there, no?
Look it up. Someone look up. I think it's Paul Barber. Soccer.
Yeah.
Brighton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so his nickname wasn't Paul the Barber? Because that's like a full-on mafia name.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a wrestler.
Ruthless. Yeah.
Sharms, it's a two-hour drive from Brighton to London. So
yeah, but they've got fast cars.
Yeah. I don't know.
You want to live hours. In Brighton. It's a lovely town. You don't want to live anywhere. Like, it's fine. It's great.
Well, Craig, you commuted from Ipswich to London for years.
Not 2 hours. Well,
is it not? How far is
sometimes.
It?
Sometimes. It was 66.5 miles to the training ground.
Wow. Wow. So that's a...
Too far.
So you're right. You're right, though. Probably. Well, they certainly have... I'm sure they got a nice flat in London for the weekends.
And then, yeah, they would have that now. I'm sure a lot of those... They have the condos set up in London for the post-game. Let's drive into London for some fun. right?
We will endeavor to get a Brighton and Hove Albion report on at some point in a few weeks' time after they've kind of immersed themselves in the Promise experience and get their thoughts on them. Because I think it's going to be a big success. I really do.
The record album.
First game?
That's look a good record album, though, Sharms. The Promise experience.
Oh, isn't it ever, eh? The Promise experience.
Yep.
And the first name can be Just Call Me Toby.
Ooh. First That's song. First track. Yeah.
They're in the Europa Conference League tomorrow versus Tromso. And then they play Villa on Sunday, August 23rd.
Could you imagine if Villa get John David today and then that first match is John David, Promise David, the two Davids for our breakfast, Saturday breakfast? Oh, yeah, have some of that.
In the Premier League?
Yeah, pretty great. It's going to be a good season. I'm excited about this season. We're doing a preview for Friday morning. Now, it won't be a typical preview because there's no point. There's still signings this week. I mean, I just literally read now Arsenal are under Arthur Konza. And it's like going to happen anytime now. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. The best defense last year in the Prem are going to get arguably the best defender in English football.
Just they did need Arsenal a bit of cover, title. Though, right? I mean, the quality is there with your starters, but then the drop off to your bench and then the quality that you need. Right.
Plus, Saliba's out for a few weeks, isn't he? I think Saliba's out maybe months, actually, 2 or 3 months, that back injury from the. So, anyway, there's no point doing like full previews because, you know, by the time the deadline comes around, but we've got an idea for something. Maybe
that's only one reason, right, Sharms? The other reason is there's no way we can compete with like The Guardian or these really deep. We've realized who we are, I think, is the big thing. So, we're going to do it a different way. We're going to do it a Footy Prime way.
Yeah, a fun way. But still, we'll provide some insight.
Of course.
Speaking of which, there's plenty of insight coming up because I know that none of you are prepared for these questions because I haven't given them to you yet. For our next segment, a brand new segment, which might be a regular segment. We'll see. We'll see how it turns out, shall we? JC, after you.
You are now entering the courtroom of Judge James Sharman. The people are real. The cases are fake. The outcomes don't matter. You're in the Primer's Court.
Wait, he's not the judge. What, he's like the bailiff or something?
Good,
I love it. That's great. Great. So yes, the Footy Prime Court. So essentially, it's really easy. I'll be the judge today, but we can mix it up in future episodes. I'm going to name one of you as the prosecutor, one of you as the defense, okay? And then I'm going to give you a case to either defend or prosecute.
It's going to go swimmingly.
Don't you have discovery before you do something like this so you actually know what you're getting yourself into?
You know what I mean? How can you defend something that you don't believe in?
Yeah.
Just stop your complaining, will you? Jesus. Well, see, they're not exactly tough questions, all right? We'll start with Dubs.
Oh, great.
All right, but we'll mix it up though, okay? So, okay, Dubs, you can be the prosecutor. Okay, case number one.
Okay.
It's got a Canadian theme because they tend to do well for us on YouTube. That's why we're doing this. Canada's golden generation is already overhyped. You are the prosecutor. You are against that. You are fighting that. Canada's golden generation is already overhyped. The floor is yours, Dubs.
Well, let me wrap my head around this. So it's already overhyped, so I'm going against that? I'm saying that it's not overhyped. That's what I'm trying to prove?
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right. So I think you don't have to look any further than this past World Cup. I think it's safe to say that the 2022 World Cup was a surprise under John Herdman. I think a lot of the talent that was at his disposal and within that Canadian pipeline came to the fore. But under Jesse Marsh, this crop of talent has proven that they're the best of the best. I think you might have something happening in terms of the way that we're developing talent in Canada. Hang on, what am I doing again?
No, you're right.
What's the question?
It's not overhyped?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. you're on the right track. Everything you're doing. Yeah.
I know, but then I was like, as I was talking, I'm questioning like what I'm actually saying.
Right. Yeah. You're disagreeing with the fact. It's difficult because it's kind of like a double negative, kind of, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not overhyped.
You can blame AI.
Yeah, we can just cut all this out.
Footy Prime versus AI. Go ahead, Dubs.
Yeah, so while I do think that the men's national team is going to be on a really good run here because there's an alignment with how we're developing talent under Kenneth Heiner-Moller, who's the technical director, Casey Stoney for the women's team, Jesse March for the men's team, Canada is going to be a force to be reckoned with on the world stage for some time. But I think this current crop of talent, led by a healthy Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David, we're talking about Promise David, Alistair Johnston,
Fleming Jones. I thought you were getting emotional there.
No. Yeah, little lump in my throat. Stephen Eustachio, you know, the youth in Moise Bumbido and the Luc de Fougerolle, the goalkeepers in Max Crepeau and Dane Sinclair, Owen Goodman, who's pushing them both. I think this is a group of players that we might not see for another cycle or two cycles. So what they accomplished, all the historic milestones, including getting their first win, moving out of the group, first knockout win at a home World Cup under that great pressure, not overhyped at all.
Now's my time to refresh everyone's memory. Moise Bumbido is 26. He's not old by any stretch. He's very much in his prime, but he always surprises me. He's a little bit older than I thought he was. Mm. Okay, good argument, Dubs.
Thanks.
Good argument. Knock, knock, hammer on the table, all that kind of stuff. Okay, who's going to be the defense for this one? I saw Jimmy feverishly typing there. Let's go with Jimmy. You got to defend that statement. Canada's golden generation is already overhyped.
How? When I agree with Dubs.
No!
I'll do it if you want, Sharms.
Okay. Well, that's Jimmy.
I think Wonger should always be the defender.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he doesn't get in trouble. Look. Yeah.
We look stupid ahead, if Jimmy. We turn around and try to defend that and go, like, it's...
Well, yeah, I can be stupid.
You gotta look at both sides of the argument before you assess the situation.
I absolutely everything's based on expectations, and overhyped has to do with what those expectations are. If we were talking about one of our videos we put out and one of our segments we spoke about was what should we expect from the Canada's men's national team going forward? If we think they're always going to make the quarterfinals, the top 16, I think we're crazy. There were teams like Germany, I mean, that didn't make the top, you know, that got knocked out. We are in a place that, yes, they're a good team, but whatever that expectation is, we are not in the top eight all the time. We are not in that level of we can rely on our national team, men's team, to make a playoff. We're not there yet. So what should we expect? It changes every tournament. And so we shouldn't be in this place where we're like, hey, it's exciting. Yes, we should be excited, but we shouldn't be excited about their performance in a tournament. What we should be looking at, and maybe I'm leaning a little towards Dubs, but at the same time, expectation is everything. If we come out of this just saying, hey, let's expect some good play, some growth, some development, and we're going to be disappointed a lot. Just saying, football is a disappointing sport. Every time we've leaned into it, every time I put money on Canada's national team, I've lost. So I am now in a place where I'm happy that they're at this level that we can talk. Look, I'm so happy about being able to watch Promise David on a Saturday morning, on a Sunday morning. This is great for us. Great for Footy Prime. Great for Dan Wong to get up and turn on his Fubo. And then share all the links with you guys, because that's what we're going to do, Fubo. We're going to get one account, and we're going to share it all. But
I paid off for a year, damn it.
Yeah. So here's my standard response is we are overhyped, and every tournament will be different.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be realistic in the fact that the last 16 teams that made the World Cup, as far as expenditure goes and investment into the game, we are bottom of that 16 by a long shot. So to think that we can maintain it is very, very difficult, almost impossible with our structure, with our lack of professional teams and these lack of stadium, like all these different things. And then you could also argue that, okay, they, as a host of the World Cup, we got a soft touch group. Bosnia was ranked, I think, 64, Qatar 58. Switzerland was the tough one in the group, failed to get past them. So you could argue that they beat a 60, they beat South Africa, which was 50, 60 ranked at the time or something like that. Qatar 58, down to 9 men, hammered them, but couldn't beat anybody in the top 50. Mm-hmm. And we had, went up against Morocco and battered them to a 3-0 loss. Like, like, you know, that was the most disappointing because they were there for the taking. And if you look at this, you know, statistics, even in the last World Cup against Belgium, Canada, like, the goals expectations were higher than Belgium. They were higher than Croatia. They were higher than Morocco. But we didn't get over the hump because we can't find the back of the net against the better teams. That's been our Achilles heel forever. And we thought Jonathan David was going to be that guy. And unfortunately, he didn't live up to it. Still there.
No.
Objection, Your Honor. Speculation.
Right? I mean.
No, it's true. Listen, we have to now, having have a bit of distance between this and the World Cup, we can now acknowledge that Canada was seeded as a host, right? Which did allow Canada to have a easier pathway to the last 16, right? And again, that's not Canada's fault,
right? I don't know, guys. Is it easy? I mean, when you got that many teams, a lot of the groups had easy pathway to get out. Everybody said the tournament's really going to kick off in the next stages. But at the end of the day, you've got to get through them, don't you, to get there. Mm-hmm. And you got to perform to get through. And you can't take anything away from them. And I look at this team and I think, This team is heading in the right direction. I look at the under-20s who now are going to the World Cup for the first time in 20-odd years. The next generation of young players that are coming through, and we've got a lot of them at TFC, are absolutely phenomenal players that are coming through. Like, I mean, really, really good.
That's good because they brought nobody fucking through in their whole history. So let's go TSC.
Yeah. Well, they actually did bring quite a few players that are across MLS right now that have actually made...
Yeah, that's cash. True. They Marshall let the good ones go.
Yeah. Well,
retention.
But then the next ones that are coming through, there's some decent players and some that are actually with the national team right now with the U16s and the U18s and obviously the U20s now going to the World Cup. So with this group and this national team program right now, yeah, I'm excited for it. I think we're going in the right direction. Would I say in the next World Cup, are we going to qualify? Yes. Will we get out of the group? Yes. We will. And I don't see why we can't, the 32 or the 16.
And that's important.
The players.
That's important, right? That, okay, 2022, this amazing journey, qualified for the World Cup. It was remarkable, right? Great moments. Then they qualify as a host. And now people are just assuming, well, yeah, they're going to play in the next World Cup. And I think they will too, but they've got to earn it now as well, which means there's a lot of really meaningful games coming up the next couple of years, really important games in qualification, which is exciting. Where I mean, this team under Jesse Marsh, this squad is still pretty young. Jimmy mentions those young players in the U20s coming through. I mean, how many of those guys are going to have an impact on that next cycle, the squad? I wonder. They'll be given opportunities, but I mean, who's too old for this current cycle? Ozo, maybe, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
But generally speaking, they're all in their mid-20s.
Yeah.
A couple towards the end there, right? So yeah. It's going to be fierce competition.
We sit in a good spot. And we got these other tournaments. Nations League's important, Gold Cup's important. It'd be nice to win something with this team.
Yeah.
I think if they win something, this argument goes away a little bit. We haven't won anything in 26 years when these two monkeys were on a team, right? Like, we're fortunate to have these two monkeys with us. And when I talk monkeys, I mean Dubs and JC. No, but it's like we have to get to a place. I don't think I hyperbole slash expectations are one of those things that change per tournament, and we shouldn't expect a victory every year, and we should relish the opportunity and of competition and development. I think that's where we have to stand. So, anyways, Sharms, you're the you get the verdict. Who wins?
Oh shit! Oh, I don't know.
Between
if it's Dubs, that was part of it.
Dubs and Jimmy versus Craig and me.
We've all danced around here and all said both arguments here. Guilty.
I don't know who that means now.
Maybe we'll let the listeners decide.
Yeah.
All right. Let them decide because I switched off minutes ago.
Oh, no, okay. The best part of that whole game was the theme song.
It was. We're not done though. We're not done. We've got another one here.
Oh, Jimmy, great.
Jimmy's got a jump, I think.
Yeah, I got a couple minutes. A few minutes.
All right. We'll start with you, Jimmy, in this one. Okay. This is a Premier League, a little bit of Premier League teaser. Okay. You can be the prosecutor in this one. Okay. Arsenal will not defend their Premier League crown this season. Okay. So you believe that they will. You are prosecuting this argument. Arsenal will not defend their Premier League crown this season. Prosecution, you have to stand.
I hate Arsenal. I think they will defend it. I think now they're in a position with the squad that they have, a couple of players that they're bringing in, is only going to make them stronger. You look at the players that they've been linked to now, which they would have never been linked to before. You know, and Vinny and numerous other players where Arsenal wouldn't even come into the same breath as some of these players that they're linking to. And now Arsenal is that club where people want to come to because I think, again, they can win a Premier League. I think they'll be competing in the Champions League with the squad that they have this year. And they're a bunch of determined players. They finally got over the hump and realized what it takes and how to win. Everybody goes, oh, I don't worry about it. After Christmas, they'll start falling apart. Towards the end of the season, that's it. It's finished. But they found a way collectively as a group to finish the season off in the first time in, 25 years? And I don't see any reason with this squad and this manager and the support that they have that they will not win the Premier League again this season.
I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. I think getting over the hump and winning that one last season was massive for them, and it'll put them in a good position. As well as you look at the other teams and their, you know, different managers, different players, rebuilding, if you like. I think Arsenal is in the best place to do a back-to-back in the Premier League. It'll be tough, but I think the players are up for it. I think they've got the right squad. And Declan Rice, I think he's fantastic in the midfield. He's what they've been missing for decades, since Vieira.
So you're not the defense. The two lawyers.
Okay.
All the high standing
Premier League teams. Chiming in, so he didn't have to be the defense. He's like, yeah, I agree with that.
Hey, Dubs, guess what?
No.
Yes. You're the defense. Me?
Yes.
Will Arsenal not defend their Premier League crown this season?
Mm-hmm.
That's a stupid question. <isn't> What? Because, I mean, oh my God. Okay, so why? Okay, well, listen, they're all already missing Saliba for the next few months, right? They didn't get that top quality center forward, which they still need. They haven't got him. They tried with Vinny Jr. That was never going to happen. Arsenal's still Arsenal. They're not going to be shopping at the big table just yet, the top table. Vinny just used Sharms, him as leverage.
Sharms, let's tease the Footy Prime preview of the Prem. Who do you think, if it's not Arsenal, and you'll be judge and jury, who is it who is going to win if it's not Arsenal? Tell me
that. It's going to be Arsenal.
What's your second?
Okay, who's my second choice? Here's one for you. I was going to use this as a bit of a hot take. It's not a real hot take, but I've got a feeling that Chelsea is going to make some real noise this year.
Mm.
And the other teams, okay, so City's got a new manager as well. They were awful last week, by the way, against Arsenal in the Community Shield. But they'll be okay. Obviously, it's still City. But I don't think they're going to be competing for a championship. I look at United, haven't spent that much in the window just yet, although they're about to get Baleba from Brighton, actually, which is a good signing. Liverpool, again, in transition. So I think Chelsea have made some really good signings this offseason. Morgan Rogers, outstanding. They might lose Enzo to City. Again, this is why it's so hard to do predictions before the transfer window closes. But Xabi Alonso is a fantastic manager, proved that at Leverkusen. They brought in some character players in Welbeck and Jordan Henderson. Another what? They did what? Right? So yeah, I think if I have to argue that Arsenal aren't
I said how old?
Yeah. I don't know. How old is he? He's old. Older than he's I bet he's not that old. I bet he just seems a lot older than he actually is. Look it up. How old is Jordan Henderson? I'm gonna say he's 35.
I'll say 34.
No. 37.
Is he
36?
Ooh, 36.
Oh, there you go. So yeah, I'm going to say, if I have to say why Arsenal won't win this year, which because they're going to win, it's kind of ludicrous. But I'm going to say Chelsea's going to make some real noise, and that's not just to make our supporters group feel all warm and fuzzy.
Right.
Maybe a little bit. It is. Dubs, can you give a reason why they won't win?
All of the things that I'm thinking of are reasons to back them in repeating. But I will say that from a player's perspective, having one chasing something, as well as Arteta, like trying to reach and grab that ring and that trophy, it's a very different mindset to try to defend it. Mm. And you saw Liverpool falter, right? You saw Arne Slot get sacked as a result of a really disappointing campaign following their win against all odds. It was improbable. So it's not improbable now for Arsenal to repeat. And in fact, everybody's pointing to the fact that they will do it. And, you know, they've shored things up. Like I was looking at, I mean, they've got Bruno Guimarães. So like the creative burden is released a little bit. And also you have some coverage for Declan Rice and like that neural stuff that he's going through as well, right? It's not just Saliba, but it's Declan Rice and like projecting forward. You're still looking at that left-hand side. They're trying to unload Martin, but you have the acquisition in the Greek forward in Christos Solis, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think the mentality, when you're chasing something, you finally seize the trophy, you've lifted it, you've celebrated it. There's the come down period. You can't ignore that, but it's also the reset and striving to be the best again. It's very different when you have a target on your back. So I'm wondering how they cope with all that this season.
Mm. That's good. I like that. And Craig and I both watch a lot of golf. And when you bet on golf, they kind of, you can bet different ways. And one is, hey, I'm taking that one player against the field, it's called, right? So to choose Arsenal against 19 other teams, it's ballsy. It's labia-y. to do that.
It
could be cunty. But it takes you've got to have some real desire to take a risk. And I would argue that it's a tough bet to win. And Dubs just gave me a reason not to bet on Arsenal because I do agree that if you look, winning back to backs is a tough thing in professional sports. Doesn't matter who you are.
Give me a team that's going to be that team.
To be honest, I was going to go with Chelsea. A couple of years ago, we were talking about how they're building, how they have so many young players. They just won the Club World Cup. They have an opportunity to play to the level they should be, and they're young also. So I was also going to say Chelsea. But
they were until they got Henderson, who elevated now the average age to about 40.
Right. It skewed everything.
but I was going to say Chelsea, yeah.
I mean, yes, I know. And listen, I know not many people have Chelsea as champions. And just to be clear, I don't think we are. But if there's a team that can really surprise here, they Morgan Rogers, Maxime Lacroix, this Marco Palestra. I'm not going to pretend I know who Marco Palestra is, Atlanta. His name rings a bell from last
season. Great tasting pasta.
But I like the Danny Welbecks and I like the Henderson signing too, because this team in the last few years, they lacked what? They lacked genuine leadership. That's you kept hearing it over and over again. someone to take control of that locker room. Too many young kids who thought they're all, you know, super yoddish. You know, we're too cool for school. And these guys will change that. They lose Mark Cucurella, Andre Santos, Alejandro Garnacho. Remember him? He's going to Villa, by the way. Maybe he'll be the breakout player. That's one to have, a breakout player, by the way, if he finds his game finally. But yeah, I mean, Chelsea just, I don't know if you, I mean, Craig, listen, City, like I said, new manager, they're still City, that they could still win this thing if it's not going to be Arsenal, obviously. Liverpool, new manager. United, kind of a new manager in Michael Carrick. Villa have lost so many players. I hope Villa win this year just because they've been so great the last little while. But look who they've lost this transfer window. They've been just gutted, right? They're out. Morgan Rogers, Yuri Tillemans, gone to United. Great signing for United, but brutal for Villa. If Konsa goes to Arsenal, I mean, it's what Villa's used to, I guess, that fan base. you just get close enough. You win a Europa League, right? They won Europa League last year. Yeah, they won the Europa League last year. And then you see these stars get procured, make a ton of money, good business. Don't know where it leaves you.
I think that financial fair play comes into is a factor. That financial fair play, as much as it's supposed to rein in these teams for spending too much money, losing too much money because they don't care, it hurts teams like Villa. I'm not sure it actually helps. It just continues to the teams that generate the most money to be able to just go in and pluck players like Bayern Munich do it in the Bundesliga. They just generate so much money. There's only so much you can lose. It's run very well, but if you own the bank, you're going to be able to go in and just take players from teams like Villa and make them non-competitive as far as winning the titles go. So I'm not sure that financial fair play thing works very well.
And well, that's the irony, right? The irony is that the well-run clubs are the clubs that get screwed for it, screwed by it.
Mm. Yeah.
Like Villa.
Like Brighton.
Like Brighton, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I've also figured out, Charms, when we play this this judge game, that if we're still playing, that not Craig should always play the negative, whatever it is.
No, Craig's the rogue lawyer. So he's not sure if he's defending or prosecuting just yet. He'll jump in.
I think Craig to chime in and be charged with contempt of court.
Yeah.
This is not your case, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What would Craig do in jail, do you think, Wonger?
Oh, well, I was just thinking about Promise David and having all of a sudden Brighton having this 6'5" guy who's built like a truck. And it reminded me of going on vacation with Craig down in Cancun at an all-you-can-drink kind of rave party. And these guys...
not rave party. You sound so old.
Yeah, I know, but it's what we were doing. And it was probably like 2 or 3 in the morning. And Craig goes, "Hey, Wonger, let's go grab a couple drinks." And I've told this story before, but there were these guys who were like butting ahead. They were American, just so you know. But
I thought you were trying to say butting heads. You're butting ahead.
Butting ahead of us in line. And I go, "Dude, what are you doing?" And the guy goes, "Oh, you got a problem?" And I just remember this giant hand coming from a great angle, just going, "Do you have a problem?" And it was Craig Forrest's hand. I just go, "This is what you get with having a 6'6" friend who's a former professional athlete." The guy goes, "I don't have a problem." And so we walked up, got our drinks, and that was the end of it. And I think of Promise David doing that for Brighton Hove Albion on the pitch, where he just attracts and opens the field, lets them play kind of lively football. And that's what Craig does for me, as you know, when we go out, I get to be the crazy person because he's standing there being this.
you're the guy that Craig hates to go out with because, oh, for
yes,
sakes. Now I'm no. physically involved because my idiot friends annoying people.
Never, I hate people never. Like you. Yeah. No, I don't do that.
So, but you think
I don't ruin nights.
You think jailhouse Craig, though, would be not an enforcer per se, but respected?
Oh, there's no one messing with Craig. Trouble. Yeah. You want him on your side.
He's good looking, which is an issue.
I was going to say Craigers, the guys like the Don or whatever they would be called in jail, right? Where they'd be like the gangs and the cliques. And then you go and you see the most senior person to resolve any issues and like make exchanges and like bars of soap and shivs and all that BS and the cigarettes and brokering for stuff. Kreger would be the guy.
Yeah.
Because it's not only the 6'5" and he's imposing, he can physically sort stuff. Kreger's character is such that people defer to him. So I could see Kreger running the show.
Yeah, but that guy's been in jail for a long time usually. Like, what's Craig done to be in jail for so long?
Something horrible.
They'd be like, bend over, Craig. This isn't going to hurt.
It was a crime of
passion. Oh, definitely. You're a sheep, too, for a while.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Good Lord.
It'd be a good game to play, though. We'll go over one day. We'll do a jailhouse footy prime. And like,
yes.
Who plays what role in jail and who wouldn't last the first night? Fishy, fishy, fishy. everyone watch Shawshank Redemption between now and the next show, and then we'll decide who's whom. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not Andy Dufresne. I'm not disciplined at all.
He has a hard time the first few years, just so everybody knows.
He does. Yeah. The sodomites got to him once or twice.
They did a couple of times. Yeah.
Sorry, Dubs.
I don't know where to go from there. There's no segue. But I was going to say, I want to get to the Jose Mourinho documentary. I have I've yet to watch it. But then in the meantime, I've seen that there's a Pep documentary as well.
Yeah.
So it's there's typical, lots on a docket here. And there's a new Ted Lasso that's dropping today. And I also wanted to shout out Laura Bryan of risehigher.ca. So the best place to go for current women's national team stats. Laura and her friend Molly run one there, and Laura started writing on Substack, so follow her there. But she's going through old Footy Prime episodes.
I love it, by the way.
So this is my favorite one of late. So it's like a little quip at the top, and then she talks about it. It's kind of like a long thread, like subtweets. And she said, 13th episode of Footy Prime that I loved. December 9th, 2021. The sorted versus sorted pronunciation debate pretty much sold me. So like her overview of each of these episodes is like a little glimpse and a really kind of obscure reference, but it's, I think, causing other people to be like, oh yeah, like I remember that, or like I got to go back and do the same. So thanks, Laura, for doing that and really opening up the old Footy Prime. What would it be like our, but what's the
essence,
word for
the essence?
Yeah. Like the backlogs, you know, of Footy Prime, so that people can dig into those. Yeah. The archives. Thank you. That's the word.
No, I'm really enjoying these tweets by Laura, by the way, because they remind me of, you know, simpler times. But we had a lot of fun in those early days. We still do, of course.
Well, I kind of remember
the freshness of it.
Yeah. And I also kind of remember the sorted versus sorted. If people, it's S-O-R-D-I-D versus S-O-R-T-E-D.
Mm-hmm. But it was me and you.
Yeah. And we were like, did he say sorted? Like we should.
Oh, we just lost Wonga.
It's so weak.
That is weird.
We just lost your sound.
We can't hear you, Wonga.
He's got a sorted mic.
No, we just totally. We should probably
it's use sorted. That.
I'll hint
get that mic sorted.
He's totally gone. Now you're muted. That's so weird. Hey, listen, let's call it a day, shall we?
I know we should.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. We're back Friday with our little Premier League. Kind of previewish, kind of showish. But yeah, let us know your thoughts on today's show. Any ideas for our courthouse? We must do it again, actually, because it's a great opening from JC. But yeah, anything else I asked you, listener, to refer to, please do so. I forget what you asked now. But anyway, until next time, cheers. Bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
What did you ask the listener to do again?
I don't know. It was something. Maybe judge the first case.
Oh, right. For them to weigh in.
There was that for sure. But, yes.
I think they're just going to weigh in. Say that it was a disaster.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. That's right.
Aside from the theme song, obviously.
That's right.